press record and say, for those of you who don't know me, but I think I know everyone here. Hi, Howard. I'm Lisa Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at the network, and I am thrilled to announce to our group, our small group, every small group is a gift, remember, that we have a chair of this group now. So I think that things will pick up a little bit, and that is Dina Stambler, and she hails from JFS in Raleigh-Cary. And I want to thank you for stepping up. I also have in this group another chair of another affinity group, Brenda, who also stepped up and stepped in to chair that group. So thank you both. But we're focusing on community programming and outreach, and Dina is the one. So Dina, take it away. And if everyone can just put their communities in their box, that would be great. So we know where everyone's calling in from.
Great. Hi. Thank you, Lisa. I'm excited to be chairing this group and working with you all to kind of figure out what our agenda is for the year and our mission for the group. Lisa and I were chatting for a few minutes before everyone joined. And, you know, I think this group's been around a year. I've only jumped on a few times. And I guess thank you for accommodating me. I think I wasn't actually able to make the old time. So I hope this works for many or all of you. So just a few words about me. I've been at the Raleigh-Cary Jewish Family Services for about a year. My position is engagement and programming manager. Previous to this, I was actually living in New Jersey for 18 years, where I worked for NCJW and Jewish Federation and various roles, and even way before that in Chicago. So my name sounds familiar to you. I may have bumped into you in one of those places. But I'm happy to be at JFS in Raleigh. And what I wanted to do today with our smallish group is to use this opportunity more to do like a round robin, say who we are. I'm curious what your positions are. I think they all really vary. I know some people are in clinical positions, some people are directors on this call. And I guess why you joined the call, what you would like to get out of this group. You know, the question has come up, should we do a round robin type every time we meet? Or would it be more beneficial to really focus on a more complete program? If someone, I know that's been done a few times in the past where there was a longer presentation on specific topics, or can we kind of vary every other meeting? So I would like to hear if you have an opinion on that, unless this is your first time to the group and you're just sort of curious what it could represent. Another idea has come up that perhaps we are just looking for community programming resources, and this we could create sort of a resource bank and meet less often. So I'm really interested in hearing what you have to say. And I know we put on that email something about Disability Awareness Month, so throw that out if your agency or you're involved in that. I'm curious to hear. We are not at JFS Raleigh, we're a very small agency, and we mostly focus on senior programming. But I'm curious to hear that as well.
The only other thing I want to say is that every group now is 50 minutes. So we have to talk fast so we can get everything in.
Okay. Does anyone want to get us started?
Brenda.
Okay, I'll try to talk fast. You know, it's not one of my fortes. Hi, my name is Brenda Ewan. I am the Director of Programming and Communications in the Coming Center in Montreal. It's a community center for Jewish people. My group in particular is for programming, but we service anybody 50 plus. We have social services and as well as volunteer services and quite a big program department. So, my position, I told you my position, what I want to get out of this. I want to be able to share some of the information that we have. We are doing a lot of services right now for the community. And because everything is virtual, everyone from all over the world, North America, can partake in it. I wanted to let you know about some of the things we're doing, in particular about JDEM, the Jewish Disability Month, because we are doing things in the Federation in Montreal, across Canada. We're combining all our efforts together, and they're going to be putting out everything that all the different agencies are doing. So my agency in particular, the Cummings Center, we're doing 4 events that we're going to be opening up to people virtually. And I will share that with you later on online so that you can share it with everyone. And it's going to be for free. So all they have to do is log in. It's going to be for the month of February. I can tell you briefly what it is. Since we're not a very big group, I can tell you. There's one, it's called Challenging the Stigma of Mental Illness. The other one is that's given by a social worker who specializes in mental illness. The other one is Neuroplasticity and Stroke. There's a French one. It's about the cerebral health. That's with our 2 kinesiologists and also our music therapist. And then there's also vocal exercises for people with aphasia. That's also in French though. So we did 2 in English, 2 in French. And then we also have 2 courses. There's Musicking and Mental Health, How Improvisation Helps. That's with another music therapist. And it's about, he's accredited music therapist, Andy McDonald. He's going to give an interactive presentation on what musicking is and how to incorporate more of it into our lives. And then he's going to open up the presentation for a music making component. And then we also have something called Broadway Boogie, which we're doing with our local theater center around the Jewish Theater Center here. It's dancing to your favorite show tunes, and she's going to show you step by step so that at the end, everybody is all doing the same steps together. It's like Dancing Queen, I Got Rhythm. And this one is more for the adapted community. So it's like from low mobility dancers. So she'll be doing things in the chair as well as standing up.
Okay, so Brenda, let me ask you something. I don't know if Dina was going to say this, but as a network, I guess I'm wondering, you're telling us this because you want, or you're saying that Howard from Baltimore's agency or clients could participate in what you are just saying to us now. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
So that's good to know. I think that's good to know. I'm wondering if, this group should be about people presenting their programs so that other agencies could actually put them on. But then what's the point if we can just partake in that? I don't know. It's confusing.
Well, the virtual library part, this is special for the Jewish Disability Month. But, you have to remember in the summer last year, our whole virtual library, which has over 280 exercise courses, art courses, presentations, that was open for everyone for free. So
right,
I just think that for the Jewish Disability Month, like Dina was saying, they weren't doing anything in particular. But if there is a group that would be interested in partaking in or joining into something, then there's those 2 courses, and the other ones for free are in our library. That I will send you the links
and the link. That's really good to know. Yeah.
All these are free, these programs.
So the ones for the virtual library is free. The other 2, I believe there's going to be a minimal cost, but I'm going to check on that just to make sure. Cause I know that we were trying to get it for free, and I'm not sure if we got it for the grant, but I will clarify that for sure. When I send out the email, I'll send the email, I guess, to you, Lisa.
Yeah.
And you can distribute it to people.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. It sounds good. Howard, you were going to say something, it looked like.
Oh, I'm always ready to say something, but no, carry on.
I think she's done, right?
I'm done.
So yeah, I think just piggybacking on Lisa's comment. She referred to it as confusion. And maybe it's to entertain at some point the phenomena of we want to use this group to cross-fertilize ideas about, well, it's happening there, why can't it happen here? And then secondly, how can we given the virtualosity of things, a lot of these topics are beyond geographic boundaries. How can we embrace what is happening in Montreal in a way that Baltimore is not just saying, oh, there's good things over there that they're doing, hook into there, but somehow it become wrapped into what Baltimore has to offer. I know I'm not making myself clear, but every time I say this, it gets a little clearer that we're all doing good stuff. And the only hesitation about me wanting to offer what you're doing in Montreal and Baltimore is it does, I'm not invested in it. Even though it would be wonderful if I did invest in it. So how to overcome that barrier that if I'm doing a program in Baltimore, you best believe I'm going to be pushing it out there to Baltimore, right? Because we get paid, so to speak, to address the local need.
Right.
Well, how can the face somehow be that what you're doing in Montreal is really something that I'm involved in, so I'm pushing that out with equal velocity as I would a program that I put the pieces together. So that challenge and potential remedy. So that's something I'd like the group at some point to address. And I don't think we should be addressing it right at this moment because we're in the middle of introductions.
But I think I do that's really important. I'm sorry, yeah. Amy, yes.
I was just gonna say, so I would piggyback a little bit on that and then we go back to introductions. But there are definitely some things that we have encouraged, even if we're not, it's not our event. We've talked about the fact that we are part of NJHSA and we have this opportunity as one of our partners to be, you know, as a partner to be able to bring it to our community. So I think that there's that piece, but then I would take it one step beyond what Howard said is eventually we're not going to do everything on Zoom. And, you know, fingers crossed. And so then it would be nice to have a resource library or something. So if I develop an event for one particular topic, why should Howard have to reinvent the whole thing? I have my art, I have my, whatever it is, I have the outline and you could just take that and modify it for whatever works with Baltimore. And I have, I don't know if it's a confession, but I have to say that I have a really good role model in that we are a PJ Library organization and PJ Library is one of seven things on my plate. And PJ, because like us, we don't compete for market share or anything like that. It is open, free sharing, both from the organization and from the communities. So if some other community is doing a really cute Tu B'Shvat event, my staff member can pick that up and either lift it entirely or just tweak it and the art and so forth for Minneapolis. So it would be nice if we could share resources in that way as well. This might be part of a bigger conversation. Like Howard said, we have not updated or introduced ourselves.
That's a good idea to let us look at models.
That was not my intent. My intent was to hold up the Constitution.
Hold on. Okay. I got it. So sorry, Dina, go on.
No, I was just commenting on Amy. I like the idea that the PJ model of program sharing, but trying to keep it local, like Howard said, that investment piece, which I mean, we're seeing that I think JCC is a national organization and has a lot of programming that different JCCs can sign into. We're not seeing a lot of our local members interested in the national programming. I know there's something about it being local and that investment and feeling connected. I think that we're all trying to figure out this virtual programming, saying, oh, wait, well, if it's offered, well, you can tune in into a Zoom anywhere, right? I mean, look at
right.
across North America.
We did a mental health conference in October, and we had, we didn't use this network, but we had our committee and other people in the community share it with their networks. And we ended up with people from 14 states and Canada participating. So they never would have been able to do that, obviously, if they, and so actually some of the people participated, but because they're wintering and they're just not coming back, or they left early or something, then they participated from their winter home instead of being here and in person. Mm-hmm. But otherwise there were people who from other parts of the state and other parts of the country who participated, who never would have been able to do that if we were only doing it in person.
Right. I think that there is such an opportunity. I think that's what Howard was saying and Brenda's saying. There is for the network to somehow be able to offer all these resources to all of the network members so that at Lehigh Valley, Ellen could attend something that Howard's doing or Brenda's doing. If we know about it, potentially you'd be interested in seeing how they do it so that you could run it on your own community. You know, you may not bring every client that you have, but you may. So I think there's real potential, and I think it is time that we now really talk about it. And honestly, this isn't the first time that Howard has mentioned it to me, right? You have said this, you know, for like a few months, and I think it is important to think about, and maybe we need to take it to the next level so that everyone can, we can figure that out. Yeah, Ellen.
Well, that leads me to a couple of things. I'm a case manager at JFS in the Lehigh Valley. So we are doing JDAM. We're doing two events. They're free February 17th and February 28th. They're on our website that we're doing two events. But it—
Like what are they? Like what events?
One is the 17th is Supported Decision-Making, a Practical Alternative to Guardianship with Disabilities. And the second one on the 28th is Disability Pride versus Disability Fix.
Interesting. So you know, those are good programs that, you know, maybe people would want to participate in. Let's say if Amy is not doing anything in Minneapolis, right?
We are, but yes.
You are. Yeah. So, right, that's the thing. But some agencies may not be, right, like Dina's.
Right,
right, yeah. And that's an area we have expertise in, so that could be something we could offer.
Right. Right.
But I think because people are offering different things, it's like, you know, what Ellen is offering, it's not necessarily the same thing that we're offering. And it's also over a period of a month. So people, you know, it is hard to provide programs for this particular subject. And I think if we share it amongst ourselves, it gives us a better opportunity to see what we're all doing. And also, you know, perhaps you have more specialization in one area than what we might have. I think it's just a great opportunity to share our services.
It is.
Right. And the issue with us right now is case management is virtual, and it's very hard to do case management that way. Mm-hmm. So I've branched out into other things. So it's helpful for me. That's why I kind of tagged onto this meeting today, because it's helpful to me to have some other ideas of what, like, we're going to try to branch out more to the clergy. We're thinking that we want to bring in a lot more Jewish clients than we have had in case management. So, but it's really helpful to me because, for instance, Howard, my daughter is at Moisha House in Baltimore. So I will share your, if it's okay, your contact information. So, like, I'm always looking for contacts and for information, just to broaden our horizon. And that's why I joined in today. So anything is really helpful.
Well, you know, I am just looking to see if there's a private Facebook group. I think there is for the community programming.
I don't think I've ever seen posts on it.
Right. So people may not post either. So I'm just trying to think about how I can put it in the chat, but I'm just trying to think about how we would call together all the varying programs. How does that happen? Is there a Google form? Like, I don't know. It seems overwhelming because we have 140 agencies, right, in the network. Right now we have 7 or maybe 8 on this call. I can't tell, 2, 4, 6, 7. So, you know, 7 is relatively easy to manage. You know, 140 might be a little more difficult. So I'm not sure how to do it, but I think there's a really important nugget that we need to really think about. because it could be fantastic, right? To have all these kinds of programs at people's fingertips on Tu B'Shvat or mental illness or addiction or whatever it is that people are going to be presenting. I think it's a great idea. But
so for something like PJ, Grinspoon has a specific, first of all, there is a really active professional page and within PJ on Facebook. But then they actually have, it's part of their website. So there is a place for people to upload, and it's divided by different topics and different age groups. And
I need to look at that somehow to look and see, you know, get some sort of a sense as to, you know, how to do that potentially, because wouldn't that be great out of this meeting? You know, every small group is a gift, that we come up with a plan that does this for the network. Like, I think.
Yes. I will say that they have that they have staff that are just dedicated to supporting, you know, all of the communities. I mean, there are, you know, hundreds of communities internationally. And so they do have staff dedicated to that. So I don't want to like set us up for failure here, but we can talk offline, Lisa, about how to how I can get you access there. We can take a
terrific look. I love this conversation, Dina. You got a lot of people talking about important things.
Great idea. I mean, what I'm hearing is that we want to do some resource sharing. Mm-hmm. And you know, Amy, maybe I would as a staff person just attend one of your programs to get ideas instead of hearing about it later from you at a meeting 2 months from now. You could say, hey, you know, I have this program next month, you know, staff members from around the country, you can attend. So I could watch you run this program, or one of your staff members run the program. And then later there could be a presentation. This is how we did it. This is how we broke it down. Mm-hmm. I think that could be useful, but we also need to come up with a low maintenance vehicle for this idea sharing.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to look into that.
If I can jump in for something really quick.
Absolutely.
So a couple of months ago, JCFS of Chicago had given a presentation in one of the affinity groups about one of their programs, one of their larger structural programs, rather than like a reoccurring or monthly program.
Right, the synagogue.
Yes,
one.
The Matt, synagogue partnership program. My camera's actually broken.
Okay.
And my replacement's not going to be until tomorrow. So I'm sorry.
No worries.
But JCFS of Chicago, when I had asked them about the synagogue partnership program, they had really been very helpful with helping me figure out how to build it in Buffalo and model a program that is similar to that program in Buffalo and make it relevant for Buffalo. And I agree with everything that all of you are saying. I think that this is an amazing idea, and we need to have a vehicle, as you were saying, Lisa, to get all of this to going, because my program at JFS Buffalo is relatively new. It's only been around for a year since I got hired. Mm-hmm. And building a department and everything kind of by scratch has been challenging. So the resources that the network has provided have been invaluable. And these groups have been invaluable too. So, yeah.
That's terrific. Thank you, Matt. And so you instituted that kind of synagogue program? You tried
We're titling it the Jewish Community Partnership Program, mm-hmm. and it is not going to officially be launched until after COVID is, I don't want to say done with, because it doesn't look like it will be done with soon, right. But until COVID restrictions in the state of New York, specifically the city of Buffalo, are loosened. Mm-hmm. But we're going to test it out and tease it out to a few synagogues in the area to see if it's something that they would like and how to make improvements on it so we can build it out on a bigger scale.
That's terrific. Great. That's good to know. That's I think that's a really interesting model. And when I was the, you know, exec in Greenwich, we did that as well. And it really was successful. And it got your name out into the community because you were, you know, inside the synagogues, you know, 2 hours a week, whatever, providing counseling or being there if anyone needed help. So I think that is a great model. And I'm glad that someone shared that and you got that, you know, inspiration. So Matthew Bolton, can you hear us? Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
So what do you think about what we're saying? Did you hear any of it?
So I jumped on a bit late. Sorry. We have like a bunch of different funding sources right now. So
we heard you being angry with somebody about something. I don't know. You were on the phone with someone.
No, that wasn't me. I've been on mute. So.
Oh, okay.
That definitely was someone else.
Okay.
You know, right now we receive some funding through what we're seeing in Pittsburgh is that in Pennsylvania, our state was not that efficient with a lot of the CARES funding that went from the federal government to the state to the county. And so what we're seeing is on the state and county level, a lot of busy work to try and spend the money down. And so last minute, the United Way saying, we have $1 million and lists of names that the county promised we get a call back about 9 months ago. And so here's a list of thousands of names and they've been waiting a year to get a call back. So wow. Let's switch gears and start calling people back. So we're doing a little bit of subcontracting to some folks as well as repivoting some of our staff to try and call people. And so that's kind of what we're doing right now in regards to some of our programming with our critical needs. And then I don't know if I talked to you guys about our J Funds program. So, you know, we have, you know, with JFCS, with our Squirrel Hole Food Pantry, we've got a couple buckets of funding for emergency basic needs if you fit certain parameters, right? And then there's in the city of Pittsburgh, we have the Jewish Assistance Fund, which provides one-time grants once a year for people, but you have to be Jewish for Jews who need money. And for a lot of the Orthodox community, it's line items in their budget. So every 9 months, people will just stop paying their gas bill, and then they go to Jewish Assistance Fund. I need $900 for gas. And so they write a check, so forth. And then Hebrew Free Loan, Jews, non-Jews, and they give loans. And then also there's the Jewish Scholarship Program, which is part of the Jewish Federation in Pittsburgh, but it's administered through JFCS. And then there is the Israeli Scholarship Program through the Federation as well. So all of these different programs are financial resources that are available to Jews, some to Jews and non-Jews, but the one unique thing is they're all available to Jews. And so we created this network called J Funds, in which these entities, we all get together every 2 weeks and discuss ways in which we can market together to ensure that every Jew in our community knows the resources available to them. Wow. And so as we're looking at some of this short and medium term case management and some people within the Jewish community that have been just getting by for many, many years and just kind of living off the community kind of, and then they jump from congregation to congregation. And now they just can't anymore due to COVID and other things. Mm-hmm. We're really lucky to have J Funds because we're really able to kind of pull our resources together and also work with the Federation to show our impact and also be able to show that, you know, we have tried to help some of these households, but they're not willing to take the help. Because that's what we're starting to see as well. I don't want a loan. I don't want social services. I just need $11,000 with my property tax. And so we are starting to see that as people really are against the wall, having to make some of those really hard choices within the Jewish community. And that's somewhat new because up until now, people were able to kind of shift around the different resources in the community. But with everybody kind of being squeezed right now, that's no longer a resource. So that's kind of what we're doing right now.
So, that's very interesting. And it sounds like you've got a lot of money and you're all talking together, and that's great for your community, but I'm sure it can be, you know, frustrating as well, because families that don't, you know, do what they need to do in order to get off of that cycle, you know, it can be very frustrating. But we were really talking about, sharing programs and whether and how to do that. And I don't know if your programs, well, I don't know, case management, maybe you can talk with Ellen. That's what she said she was interested in, but you have to have the money to do all that financial, you know, to give away all that money. You have to get the funds.
For us, case management, we're doing very, very short-term case management. So as an agency, we have a psych department, a psychological services department, and we have a separate seniors department. And right. so they do some of the longer term case management, you know, psychotherapy and right. so forth. For our pantry and our emergency basic needs, we made a decision many years ago that we wouldn't do long-term case management simply because that those financial resources needed to do that are just not there right now. And right. so, you know, we do some of that pass-through funding. And then every once in a while, we do see people within the community that need some of that medium-term case management. And we try to, you know, make those referrals and push them in the right direction. But gotcha. it can be challenging because when you have people that are not ready to make those tough right. decisions, it can be challenging. I'll tell you one thing that has helped is that part of J-Fund's Hebrew Free Loan hired a part-time financial counselor mm-hmm. that goes above and beyond the normal volunteer bank staff that has like a PowerPoint that says, you know, save yeah. money, spend less. This person, this is their life's work and they're very passionate. And
that person should be in our emergency financial and case management group, but we have to move on from here because okay. I think we have to pull this together. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to go back to best purpose for these meetings. So this is worth our time and that we're all getting something and we want to return to the meetings. So I love that point that we've come together, that we need this a low maintenance vehicle for program sharing. And it sounds like Amy might be able to link us to some resources through PJ Library, though that might be beyond because it's well staffed. We need to find a vehicle that doesn't require staffing or very minimal staffing. but let's also talk about how you would like to use these meetings. Howard?
Don't yell, you guys. I got eye issues. I have to wear these glasses. or laugh, I guess.
That's the new look now that the Democrats are back in aviator shades.
Yeah.
Going back to there's perhaps two agendas going on. One, just the cross-fertilization of ideas, and then two, the actual sharing of the programming. So going back to the first one, the cross-fertilization, I propose that we adopt a model that each person who feels they have a program that is replicable in another city to be able to, in a first round, present two or three programs, but to describe it in 1 minute or less. And after everybody goes around, thankfully, you can do breakout sessions. I'm really interested in what Brenda had to say about music therapy. So Brenda and I could perhaps go into a chat room because I want to dig deeper on that one. But it could be Brenda's agenda is not anywhere near mine. However, what Matthew has to say, I want to do a deeper dive. So, or it could be taken instead of during the meeting that I know I want to connect up with Brenda and I have to find out more about that particular music therapy approach. So I can do that offline at another time. So that we briefly describe by the first 10 minutes, 10 or 12 different programs. And then if I am interested or to be able to go to that deeper dive. The second agenda,
During this group, you're saying?
During this group. This group. Uh-huh. Yeah. On that second agenda, perhaps our meeting more quickly than, I think this is a quarterly meeting or something like that.
I think it's every other month.
Mm-hmm. Maybe to come back in 3 weeks or so, so we can get this kind of going. Hopefully within 9 months, a year, will be less in COVID lockdown. So we want to take the quicker we do that part, the more relevant it'll be. I agree. There will be probably hybrid models moving forward in time. So I think it'll have legs. Right now, those legs are needed. So to come back on that point more quickly than we might otherwise, that's my thought.
Mm-hmm. Howard, you're proposing a meeting more often?
No, he meant just to get this agenda. Together. What?
On the second agenda of the resource sharing and or a model where we can adopt each other's programs without having to replicate them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Any other thoughts on use of these meetings? Do people like that idea? Have other ideas?
Oh, I just have a question. How did you, I found out about this meeting at the last minute. So is there a way to be on like a group link that tells you specifically about this meeting?
Well, if you had said you were interested in this meeting and being a part of it, then you're on the list. And we always send out in the newsletter on Fridays. I don't know if you guys get the newsletter. If you don't, you have to let me know. If you don't get that newsletter, that's crazy. Put your email in the chat so I'll make sure you're on it. Or it may go into junk, but there's a newsletter that has all of the affinity groups. And if you haven't joined one before, you can, you know, register to do that. But now that you came into this group, Ellen, you're on the list. Yeah.
And you can't get off of it.
And you can't get off of it until you tell me you want to get off of it, because we now have this new database. The only thing I wanted to say about Howard's idea, which I think is great, and it's like the program showcase, which we're doing at the annual conference, and we've divided into like 8 different program showcases. So we're hoping to have one on older adults and one on disabilities, and we'll see how many proposals we got. That's taking place over the next 2 weeks. And that's 5 minutes, 5 slides. It's hard to sum up a program in 1 minute. I think Dina had said 2 minutes in her group, like a 2-minute round robin. I can do the breakout rooms, but I have to do them while we're here. And you'd, so there's a lot of, you'd have to do it in the chat, and it would take time for me to put different people in different rooms, but I think I could do it. You know, I think I could do it. And then I could bring us all back if that's something everyone's interested in. You know, it's an idea.
Cricket.
Or,
I mean, we would need more people. This is just too small to do breakout rooms and presentations.
Right. Or we'd say Howard writes me and Ellen writes me privately, or Dina writes Dina and says that you'd like to present a program. And then we market it that Ellen's presenting on this and Howard's presenting on that. And you have more than 2 minutes. You've got 20 minutes. Like Matt from JFS of Buffalo heard that 20 minute program.
I would want to know it in advance, because if it's a program that I'm not interested
in,
God bless every one of us. We're working hard.
Right.
But I wouldn't want to spend 20 minutes,
right,
on something that's
right.
So
you're right. So your idea is let's get everyone to bring their best ideas to the table, then we'll break out and discuss it further.
And to do it real brief, and to do it real briefly.
Amy.
I want to know the subject matter and one or two things. And if I'm interested, then I need a deeper dive. How'd you do it? Who'd you invite? Who'd you partner with? What was the budget? All those things.
Do people like this idea? I don't see anyone's facial,
I love it.
I like it, but I don't.
Like it if we can get a bigger group.
I agree with Dina. Yeah, we definitely need more people.
If there was, we had 10 different topics to pick from or more, yes. But if it was just me and Amy and you're like, yeah, you know what? I don't really do that. Or we have that covered,
I think, well, I think it also has to be more broken down into maybe subjects, because I'm thinking about where I work in the Cummings Center. And there's so many different departments. So like the social service department has great programs that they're offering. Usually I would think there's somebody here on from social services, but I don't see anybody here today, versus the program department has different kinds of offerings that they have. And it's like two different kind of population as well. So I don't know if we should look at like categorizing what subjects, because if you're asking, if Howard's asking me to present like two programs that can be copied, well, I'm thinking that there's two in social services that I think are really, really important for the community. But I also have also great programs that, you know, are for the more the adapted community. So it would be hard to really decide which one to choose from. So I'm just thinking maybe at looking at it like, okay, so this meeting we're dealing more with social services, or maybe the next meeting we're dealing more with program services, just to break it down a bit.
It's interesting because, as you all know, there are so many different affinity groups that we're running that are broken down into specific services: disabilities, older adults, Holocaust survivors, you know, clinical clinicians. So, you know, this I always thought, and that's what I said to Dina, like, I'm not sure what this is. Like, I wonder if we've titled it wrong. Like, what is this group? Because I feel like it's the smallest group of all the affinity groups, because it seems so, you know, I said vague, amorphous, I think is what I said. What is it, community programming and outreach professionals? Because we've got case managers, directors of, you know, clinics, you're older adults, you know, in charge of engagement for older adults. Matthew does the food pantry and emergency financial services. Like, everyone is all over the place. I don't even know what Amy's title is, actually.
Mine's the director of community services. So I get a little piece of all of you. So I mean, that's a challenge, because I could have easily, just as easily, had all of my staff be a member of this committee. You know, this affinity group, because they each are doing programming and outreach. It feels like the engagement and outreach piece is the thing that is driving me or my team. And so that would be a great focus. But if that's not the focus of this group, I mean, I find it valuable when I come. I'm interested in hearing what other people are doing. And if I can come, I can come. Jay Dane brought me today because that's one of my programs. And so
we should talk about that at one point, because I think yeah. they're popular into two. But I think that's interesting. I just feel like, Dina, you know, is it engagement and outreach? You know, yeah. we need all of your help to help us figure this out so that it meets your needs. And it's not just this, what?
Yeah, I said, I think we should retitle the group, because I think very few people have this, our engagement and outreach professionals. I think that we all do this work. I mean, maybe it should just be like a best practices group on community programming. And it sounds like that's what we're looking for.
The place that I'm coming from is, and maybe because Baltimore is such a large community, the piece where that is my task and purpose within the agency is mental health programming that goes out into the public sphere, whether we go into the classrooms, whether we go on Zoom and do community programming, versus clinical work that is family-based or individual-based or resources, because there are other affinity groups within the organization that addresses. My understanding of this group was those of us who are engaged in doing programs that are out to the community in large groups, or programs that are meant to go out for community members. So that was my understanding of this particular affinity group. And one other thing, I think one of the reasons that, and this is my bias, that it did get small, this was when I first came, much larger group. I think part of the reason the shrinkage was that there was, having to spend a lot of time, an hour plus, and I might have only been interested in 15 minutes of it. And my sense is others, and it dwindled down. So I think sharpening the focus and sharpening the structure of the meeting would be helpful. and getting more people?
I'm reflecting on what Lisa had to say, and she's correct that there are so many other affinity groups that are specific to, you know, to different areas. So there's, you know, there's some for Holocaust survivors, there's some for, you know, more for the social services professionals, there's IT. So maybe really the name of this group might be, you know, what Howard said, it's really how are we outreaching the community and what projects specifically are we doing to outreach to the community?
Affinity group name, Brenda.
Oh, and that's not the name, Lisa. It's not the name, but I'm just thinking that that would be something that I think we would be interested in, because
community programming.
Just outreach. It's just, I mean, it is like, how are we going? How are we doing? Like you said, Howard, what are you doing that's working? Like, what kind of programs have you done that are outreaching the community?
Well, that's what we're doing, but we have to be focused. Yeah. Like, I think that Howard's saying, come and tell us your older adult services outreach programs. Come and tell us your clinical services outreach programs, like addiction, like what you were talking about, mental illness. You know, I think that's what you're saying. Sure. Like, have a program showcase each time on different community programs, best practices. Is that what you're saying? But I know we have to talk about JDAM, right? That's what we.
Well, can we just jump back to what you were saying, Lisa? I'm just trying to envision a structure that would be helpful. So I kind of like that. So maybe each meeting, if we could get maybe four people to present on different, you know, say, I'm going to talk about something for older adult services, addiction services, food pantries, and I don't know, adolescents. And maybe that we put that in the announcements. You could listen to the 2-minute presentation and then be told you can jump into a breakout room with that staff.
Hopefully, you know, if we have a lot of people, it's going to be very hard to do. Right. but I can try my best, right? Depends on how many people.
Right. And I guess the other thing, if we didn't have enough people and you were interested, and if it was a small group, we could hear each presentation and we told that person, okay, if I was going to present about Holocaust services, I'll just present it to the group, and I would have a 5 to 10 minute presentation ready that I could either give to a small group or a larger group. But I'd have to get people ahead of time who are
right. I think that's hard to do, Dina, because not everybody, you know, we could send it out and people may not step up to say they want to do it.
Well,
right.
That's the problem.
Yeah. And then we have to talk about JDAM because it's already 50 minutes after, and we're going to continue.
Yeah. So, at least in my thinking, and I'm okay if we don't go with, in my thinking, there is perhaps a difference between the agency's service line to the community, as opposed to community programs. So I have clinical, let's say I'm from Baltimore, we have clinical services that go out, clinical services that provide counseling to members of the community. That would not be part of this group. That would be to another group. The kinds of things for this group that would benefit me is what public programings that the community is doing, where you're doing education to the community, or you're doing a community-wide memorial service, or a community-wide presentation on this topic or this topic. So that's what I would hope to that this group is different than all the other affinity groups. And so that's my vision.
I guess not to belabor this, and because we're getting too close to the end, but in some ways I like it a little bit narrower, or the opportunity to hear about the programs, because so for example, in our organization, we're not divided that way. So I have 7 unique programs that are all doing outreach in a variety of communities. So to the LGBTQ community, to the disability community, to the PJ community, to the people who need a Happy Holidays, you know, financial support program, food security. I have all of these, and they overlap with all of our other programs. They work within the agency. They work within the community partners, you know, the synagogues and other community partners, but they're all pretty targeted to specific populations and building engagement in those communities.
So I think, Dina, even though you, that if we do this moving forward or when we do this moving forward, that we are more specific. I would suggest that we have a group on programs that were presented for older adults or programs that were presented for clinical mental health issues, like that we sort of narrow it down so that only people who are interested in those programs will come, and maybe we'll get more people because Amy might come to everyone because she's got programs to offer in every part of that community. And Howard may only come to the one that is about social services community programs, you know, not social, you know, mental health community programs. I mean, to me, that makes the most sense. And Matthew, you may only come to programs about emergency aid or, you know, what people have done to bring people, you know, to help people through that. I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For us, it would probably also diversify who from our staff came. So it may not always be me. It may be other people from within the organization, which
who presented the program or who were in charge of the program.
Who presented the program or hear what's happening, you know, best practices in other communities and how can they take that information and improve their own programming.
So maybe it should be best practices affinity group. Like not best practices in community outreach. In community outreach, put them both together. in community outreach programs.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, what we all want to hear.
Is that right?
I mean, I think that's why everyone comes.
Okay, let's talk about JVAM.
Okay, I'll jump in real quickly because okay. we have a couple of events. Many of you know Stacy Spencer. Brenda, I think you know Stacy is your co-chair. But we have a couple of events coming up. One that we're
doing. She's co-chair of disabilities. Brenda is.
Oh, okay. We are doing a movie that we're showing to the community on February 21st. It'll be open to all of you, and I'll be happy to put it, to send it out as soon as we get the link. But it is in conjunction with the organization called Real Possibilities, and they do movies by, for, and about individuals with disabilities. And we previewed several and picked this one in particular. And it's the story of Mara Clausen, who has a disability and has been gradually losing her sight. She has some other issues, and she is an amazing artist, just an amazing artist. And so we're gonna show, it's a 32-minute film, and then have a conversation with the director, Mara, and her parents. And so
nice.
we're super excited about that.
When is that?
That is Sunday, February 21st.
Okay.
And I believe it's at 3:00 Central Time. But I will check that right now while I tell you this. And then Stacy, our inclusion manager, actually convenes a group called Jewish Acceptance and Inclusion Collaborative. It's 16 different organizations in the community. So synagogues, Hillel, the JCCs, all different organizations. And we are helping them create their own JDAME events and then helping promote them around the community. So we usually do one together, which really means we do it and put everybody's name on it. And then they also are doing different things. So Devar Torah, things like that. And then for a variety of reasons, we've had to push our last one to actually probably this fall, but it's gonna be an actual sort of book club with Amy Lutz, who has written a book called Walk This Way, I believe. And it is her son has autism, and it's sort of her version of how she got him through his bar mitzvah and how she really helped. He's nonverbal, and so how that worked. I will say that Mara Clausen, the young woman who is in the movie that we're seeing, she did her bat mitzvah and her Devar Torah, but she also drew her story, her parsha, and it was sort of the adventures of Moses. And so she's just brilliant.
Zoom call, or is that?
It will be a Zoom. Yeah.
Right. So what you're telling us are great programs that people could be interested in other communities, and they could go on Zoom. And that's what we need to do. That's number two. That's the second part of this. And we need to do that. Like Howard just sent something, which is the Baltimore series of events link through JewishTogether.org. And maybe potentially when I look at that, I could see, and maybe that's what we need to do, something similar. Mm-hmm. But, you know, send me everything, you guys, via email would be easier for me. And then I will send it out at least to this group so you can look at everything, right? And then we can try to figure out how to make it national and that everyone knows, because I think that this was an important meeting to talk about this. And it really will give us structure moving forward, Dina, too.
Yeah, this was really helpful.
Does anyone else have JDAM programs they want to tell us about? Because that's important. We have Brenda's, we have Baltimore's, we have Amy's, we will have it.
Lisa, the link that I'm going to send you will have all the programs that are being done by the CJA. It's not just mine, so once I have that, I'll send out that link to you and you'll see multiple programs that are being done by all the different agencies.
Right, and we'll figure out where to put it, how to get the word out, et cetera. We'll do that. This was important. This was a good meeting.
And ours are on our website.
Okay, so send me your website, link or call numbers or whatever it is. URL.
Yeah, send me your email.
LL Smith. Okay, I'll put it in here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so our next meeting, when is it, Dina? Do you know?
What is our next meeting?
I do. It's on March 1st. It's on March 1st at 1:30. So everyone write that down. And that's my email. And I'll get this to you, and I'm going to be thinking about what we can do to make this programs accessible for our member agencies.
This is great, everyone. Thank you for your ideas. And if you have any thoughts after the meeting, I guess send them to Lisa.
You.
Well, and me, if I don't know if I'm copied on that email, if I'm on, welcome to put my email in the chat too. I would love to hear. Here, I'm gonna put it in right now.
Okay, well, thank you all.
Thank you.
And Howard,
yes,
I'm going to talk to you right now. I'm jumping on the next call with you.
Okay. Or is this your meeting?
Stay here.
We can hang on to this meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure. And thank you for taking the lead, Dina.